What is going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of our New York Mets podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Let's get right into the madness. West Coast trip is over with. Let me tell you something about the West Coast trip. It seems like the past couple of seasons we've endured 10-game road West Coast trips. This one was only six up against the Dodgers and the San Francisco Giants. So it's nice to for this West Coast trip to only be six games as opposed to 10 games, because 10 games just feels like way too long to be out there, and we just never do well in West Coast trips. So I personally enjoyed this West Coast trip being only six games. The Mets end up going 3-3 in this West Coast trip, like I mentioned, against the Dodgers and the Giants. And I think this, you know, it would have been nice to, you know, go 4-2, but I will take 3-3. The Mets took 2 of 3 from the Dodgers and then lost 2 of 3 to the Giants. And I'd much rather I'm happy that it went that way. I'm glad that we were able to take the first two from the Dodgers, as opposed to only taking one from the Dodgers and taking two from the Giants. You know, they went into this West Coast trip kind of still looking for answers. The offense really has not lived up to what we believe the potential of this lineup can be. But, you know, the sticks kind of broke out, especially in game one against the Dodgers. You know, I'm not going to recap every game of that series, but, you know, it was nice to see the Mets get the first two in LA. It was nice to see Lindor go 5-for-12 with a home run and 4 RBIs in LA against the Dodgers. He's still not striking out a lot. He's just, you know, the ball's just not finding the empty spots on the field. He did have, Lindor had a 2-run home run to break a tie versus the Dodgers. And, you know, that was Lindor's fifth home run from the left side since last All-Star break. So hopefully he starts finding his groove. He found it in the third game against the Giants as he hit 2 home runs. He had 4 more RBIs in that game. And, you know, it's definitely a bright spot. He's got that batting average over 200. So hopefully now heading into this next series at home, he can kind of build off of that and start showing a little more consistency, positive consistency at the plate. So very, very impressed with this West Coast trip. Obviously, we got bombarded by the Dodgers in game three in the finale. Adrian Hauser just got lit up in that game. And the Mets dropped the last game of that series. And then, you know, the first two games against the Giants, you know, both of the first two games, the Mets just waited a little too late to get kind of going. They made a little threat there in the ninth innings in both of the first two games and still came up short. And, you know, it's kind of what their mojo has been. They wait late to kind of get going and get rallies going a little bit. So that part is still a little frustrating. But in game three of that Giants series, I think we lucked out with Blake Snell being scratched from his start. And, you know, I think it's a game that the Mets should have won, and they did win, going up against the Giants bullpen all game long. So they were able to salvage that series and not get swept. So, like I said, hopefully now going into Queens, into this next series at home, you know, we can get some decent pitching. I think we've gotten pretty decent pitching, but hopefully the bats can wake up now that JD Martinez is going to be with the New York Mets this Friday. Where should JD Martinez bat? I think the answer is pretty simple. You got to put him behind Alonso. I think that's a no-brainer. I think we all know that. It's actually what follows JD Martinez. I kind of like having Beatty after JD Martinez, and then McNeil, Bader, and the catcher position. So I think that's the way to go. You go Nimmo 1, Marte 2, Lindor 3, Alonso 4, JD Martinez 5, Beatty 6, McNeil 7, and then you got Bader 8 and the catcher position at 9. I think that is the best lineup that the Mets could put out there going forward now that JD Martinez is officially on the team. We'll get to see him Friday night as the Mets don their City Connect jerseys. Pretty fresh and dope jerseys, might I say. So yeah, hopefully we can get some better pitching. The pitching hasn't been terrible, and I'm talking about the starting pitching. It's just the walks that are killing us. When it's not one guy, it's another. These guys just are losing batters. They're getting into pitcher-friendly counts and just not really putting them away. And I think that's really that's just really the mojo of these starting pitchers that the Mets have in Manaea, Severino, Hauser. They just don't have the put away overpowering stuff that when they have batters with two strikes, they can blow by a fastball or just get filthy with the curves and the changeups and all that. So, you know, the starting pitching needs to be better. I think they're adjusting to the pitching lab and all that stuff. And, you know, the team is very analytical right now. So I'm sure they're just trying to find their groove. I think they'll get better as time goes on. And, like, I think it was Cohen that mentioned during the second game maybe of the Giants series where, you know, they're throwing the starting pitchers are throwing their curves, their sweepers. They're starting in the zone, breaking away, and the hitters are just not really falling for it at this point. So you can't really fault the Mets pitching too much. I think it's just a good discipline by the opposing hitters. Mets pitching the last 15 days, about 13 games. And I can't remember if this is including the last game of the Giants series. But nonetheless, about 2 weeks worth of numbers here. They got the third most walks with 56. They got the fourth lowest batting average against with 215. Second fewest walks with 90. They've pitched the fifth fewest innings with 113. They got the fourth highest pitches per inning with 17. And a 4.46 is good for third highest walks per 9 innings. And, you know, when I kind of look at other teams around the majors, you got teams like the Astros, Texas. They're all in this same area of statistics as the Mets are. So it's no wonder that a team like Houston, the Astros, are struggling a little bit. I know they have a lot of injuries on their pitching staff, but, you know, they're also struggling in a few of these departments. And, you know, I think that the record is kind of telling. The Mets obviously have been better than some of those teams, but still, the struggle is there. The Mets pitching is really not getting hit hard. But like I said, they really don't have any overpowering stuff. And, you know, these were the signings that Stearns made over the winter. Low risk, high reward. And we're basically hoping for the best out of these guys. They have been good, but they just run into trouble. And, you know, kind of, you know, they let things get away from them. And the other teams, you know, put up a two or three spot in the middle innings, and that kind of throws everything out of whack, and their pitch counts are really high. I mean, you got guys like Manaea and Severino. They're finding their groove. They're pitching well through the first three, four innings, and then once they get to the fifth inning, sometimes even before that, they just really, you know, they're not controlling their stuff, and it results in a high pitch count, and it's just terrible. And then we have to turn to our bullpen, who has been really good. So, you know, hopefully the starting pitching can really find its groove here, because we're in desperate need of Kodai Senga. You know, there was one thing with Senga in 2023 where his walks were a little high in my eyes in the first half of the season. And I mentioned he really needs to cut those walks down in half. And whatever Hefner did with him, or whatever happened, or he just got accustomed to pitching here in the United States and different bulls, different mound, all that good stuff, he really accomplished that. He cut down his walks in half, and he was really good in the second half of the season. So I'm hoping that guys like Manaea, Severino, hopefully Buto continues to give us quality starts. I know in the statistics they're not quality starts, but you know, a good enough start to really put us in position to you know, to win some ball games here, because it's only a matter of time before the bats start to wake up a little bit and find their groove as well. So like I mentioned, we head into Citi Field now for a weekend series at in Queens against the St. Louis Cardinals. And the Cardinals are a team that are really struggling here as of late. They their offense has not been that great, although they have some good sticks in that lineup, but they're just not they're not coming through. Their pitching has not been great either. The Cardinals are 5-8 in their last 13 games. That's last 2 weeks. The Mets are 8-5. When you look at batting average, the Cardinals are batting .221 during that span. The Mets at .270. The Mets have 15 home runs as opposed to the Cardinals' 7 home runs in the last 2 weeks. The Mets have scored 75 runs. The Cardinals' offense has only scored 40 runs in the last 2 weeks. Now, those 75 runs that the Mets have scored is inflated by that 16-run game against the Braves. But nonetheless, you know, you take that, those 16 runs away, you're still looking at about a 20 run difference. So that's pretty, that's a pretty large amount. Stolen bases, the Mets have stolen 15 bases in the last 2 weeks, and the Cardinals have stolen 6. They do have some speed on that team, but I'm not sure why they only have 6 stolen bases. On base percentage, the Mets are at .339, the Cardinals at .311. And the Cardinals have an OPS of .643 and the Mets .768 in the last 2 weeks. We move to some pitching stats here. The Mets ERA, this is a complete staff ERA. The Mets are at 3.63. The Cardinals at 4.07. Strikeouts, the Cardinals have 107. The Mets have 123. The walks, of course, the Mets have been walking a ton. They have 60 in the last 2 weeks, and the Cardinals only have 40. I expect the Mets to take 2 out of 3 pretty easily from the Cardinals. But, you know, I got to be careful when I say that, because the Cardinals always seem to be a, you know, a pest to the Mets, and you know, find a way to make it difficult, or the Mets find a way to make it difficult for themselves. But nonetheless, we got a struggling team coming on the road, going to Queens, and you know, I think the Mets are going to be up for the series, and you know, I think they're going to show a little bit of what we've been wanting to see from the team. Hopefully, with JD Martinez, you know, I think the crowd's going to be live. I think you know, the rest of the lineup is really going to step up to the plate and you know, make things happen. They got to, because, you know, we've shown that we can beat good teams so far this season. And, you know, we went into L.A. and beat the Dodgers the first two games and put up, you know, quite a bit of runs on that team. So that's always nice. It shows that, you know, this team can really go toe to toe with the better teams in the majors. We just have to find a way to not play down on the teams that are not so good, like the Cardinals, and, you know, dominate a little bit. That's really what I want to see. I want to see the Mets dominate the Cardinals, and kind of show that, you know, show that they're the better team, basically. And they have been the last 2 weeks, right? The record shows, the numbers show, but they need to keep doing that in order to really stay afloat, because the Braves, the Phillies, they're not losing. And, you know, I think the Mets are like one game behind the wild card right now. But I know it's too early to talk wild card. But again, we can't lose any ground, because, you know, there's other teams that are pretty decent around the National League. So, like I said, hopefully we can go out there and dominate the Cardinals and, you know, make something happen for us. What else do we have? Nimmo's really struggling as of late. He, you know, I'm hoping as Lindor starts to come around a little bit, hopefully Nimmo starts to come around as well. I've seen a couple swings out of him and strikeouts where he's just swinging, just poor swings. Like he's not really, his head is not all there in his approach at the plate. So hopefully he can start coming around a little bit, because I think he's got a batting average of under 100 as well. So hopefully Lindor coming around, Nimmo comes around, that's really going to boost the lineup and, you know, make it a more solid looking lineup on paper and in the actual results that we see. So, yeah, let me know what you guys think about this West Coast trip, 3-3. I'll take it. I'm happy that they were able to salvage the series against the Giants. I think it was important for them to win that game. I know it was a bullpen game that they were facing, but nonetheless, you still got to go out there and play the ball games. So let me know what your thoughts are on this West Coast trip where the Mets went 3-3. What else do we have? Hopefully Hauser can find his groove somehow. He has not impressed me at all. I guess they had to throw in Hauser for us to get Tyron Taylor, because Tyron Taylor has really done a very, very good job in pretty much showing up whenever his name is, you know, penciled into the lineup. Really remarkable what he's doing. He's been our damn near our best hitter. And it's really important that he has stepped up, because, you know, when we give JD Martinez a day off, we can slide Marte into the DH and Tyrone Taylor's bat could stay in the lineup and we move him to right field. So I expect that to be the rotation between right field and DH, and because I don't think JD Martinez will be, you know, DH in every game during the week, right? He'll take the bulk of it, but he will need his rest. I'm sure they don't want to push him. They haven't pushed him so far. They've kind of let him rehab at his own pace, and he's pretty much going to dictate how much time Taylor gets to play. So it's really important that Taylor's bat stays in the lineup, and I think that's a way that it will stay in the lineup, is with you know, when JD Martinez needs a day or two off during the week, Marte slides to DH and you play Taylor in right field, which I think is a good rotation right there. It's good to have, because, you know, the Marte's legs stay fresh and Taylor gets to gets to play. Obviously, I don't think he's going to keep this up all season long. There will be a little, regression there at some point. But at right now, you got to play him because the lineup needs it, right? You put him in, in the lower part of the lineup, and it kind of keeps things moving. So I like the way the Mets lineup is looking. I think it'll only get better as the weather warms up during the season. And, we just need to make sure that the pitching stays afloat until, either a call-up or David Peterson comes back, or maybe McGill, Senga, obviously. So we need to keep getting, quality innings. Maybe not quality starts, just quality innings from the guys that we have at this time. That's going to do it for this show. I appreciate you guys tuning in and listening to me talk Mets. So yeah, that's all I got. Till the next one.